97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo, here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello!
And my partner Beau Matthews will be alongside momentarily. Thank you for joining us on this Christmas weekend as we get ready to officially close the books on 2020.
Yay!
And see what 2021 has to offer us. I know that we will be here for you, continuing Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors into the new year. We thank all of the support. Thank you for all of the support that we have received in the couple years, two, 3 years this show has been on the air. And a person that's been here since day one is our good friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who joins us on the line right now. Aaron, how's it going, my friend?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Oh, you know, another day. How are you guys at Southern Armory right now?
Well, a couple more pallets of ammo coming in.
Good
and
boy.
I'm sure it'll go right back out the door. Guns have been rolling in and out just as quick too, which is good. Finally able to kind of make a dent, if that makes any sense. So we're keeping guns on the wall.
Have you gotten the feeling from your customers there in the shop and just the conversations that people are having while they're in the store that over the holiday season, maybe they've gotten a chance to unplug a little bit from the craziness of the news cycle and everything else, the media and everything, and it's more of a, I don't know, whatever normal is anymore, but a normal conversation? Or when people come into the store, are they just as engaged, worried, motivated, passionate as ever as Joe Biden gets ready to take office and, you know, some possible changes could be coming to Second Amendment rights and things like that? Are the customers still talking about that? Are they, quote-unquote, stocking up? Are they worried? Or have they gotten a chance to sort of decompress at the end of the year here?
So Jess and I were kind of talking about this. There's definitely been kind of a attitude change from, you know, there's all this fraud, which I'm not even going to debate because I think it's obvious. But and then, you know, all these subsequent lawsuits filed. Now my wife and I pretty much agree that the way this is going to play out is people are starting to accept the fact that Joe Biden is going to be our next president.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, there's definitely a lot more talk of, hey, I probably need to get an AR. Hey, high cap magazines, etc.
Yeah. And do you think that... What do you think, if you had to guess, what do you think the first thing, the first move that Biden or the Democrats will take in the Second Amendment realm? Will it be kind of like the bump stocks thing? They'll go for something, quote unquote, easy, like try to ban high capacity magazines or, you know, try to take away or maybe limit silencers or something like that to kind of start things off? Or do you think they're going to go big right out of the gate?
I think they're going to go big right out of the gate. I think they're going to go ahead and file similar legislation to what the original assault weapons ban was. They're going to include language in there that talks about mandatory buybacks. Then, of course, they'll spin it as if it's not a confiscation. It's just, we're requiring you to sell us your gun at a extremely discounted rate. So that's basically what it'll come down to, at least in my mind. And then, of course, in there they'll have the magazine ban. They'll have a restriction on threaded barrels, which will knock out, you know, your suppressors and flash hiders and all this stuff. Your muzzle brakes all be gone. because you can't have a threaded barrel. They'll go ahead and talk about...
Hold on. Piper!
Hi.
Dad, did you make up again?
It's okay.
That's great. I know. That's so cute.
So, I know. Dogs. Hey.
That's so great. So, the last few weeks, we have been going through the Biden plan to end our gun violence epidemic and getting your thoughts, Aaron, on these things as we've gone through them. We haven't even probably gone through half of the policies so far. But I want to get your thoughts on just a couple more of these before we let you go. One of the things that I saw on here, and I'm trying to find it exactly so I get the wording exactly right, was put America on the path to ensuring that 100% of firearms sold in America are smart guns. What's a smart gun?
Man, it's fluffy.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what a smart gun is.
It reads your palm.
Does it?
Yeah.
So you have to use. So the user of the gun can only be the person with the right fingerprints or something?
Yeah, you got it.
Basically.
So there's been several states, New Jersey was one of them, that basically embraced this, quote, smart gun technology where you had to have like an RFID or a palm reader or some sort of, you know, biometric data that told the gun, hey, turn on, this is the authorized user. There's also legislation out there for, like, bullets that have individual serial numbers, which manufacturing has just basically said, not possible. So then they said, well, hey, how about we serialize or make unique extractors so it, like, micro engraves like a number on there where we can trace that, and you know, they're like, well, it's going to change over time. So the smart gun legislation has definitely been done on the state level, and it has been on the state level for probably a decade plus, and manufacturers have looked into this and just said it is not humanly possible.
I would
at this time.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that I would imagine that a huge company like Glock or Sig Sauer, you know, somebody like that, could try to start some program where they look into this technology and try to develop it over the course of many years. But if you institute some kind of law like that immediately, every medium-sized to mom-and-pop gun manufacturer is out of business immediately, because there's no way that they have the technology or the resources to develop that type of technology. And maybe that's the point.
it definitely is the point. Plus, the other thing it did was it hung a sign on New Jersey, pretty sure it was New Jersey, and said, hey, the way the legislation was written was anybody who develops this technology, this is the only kind of gun that's allowed in here. So it was a pretty big prize for Sig or Glock or Smith & Wesson or Ruger to say, or Remington, now they're defunct, but to say, okay, let's develop this and we will lock up an entire state. No gun other than ours will be allowed to be sold in this state. Same thing with the ammunition manufacturers. If they were able to really pull this off, you know, they would have locked up that entire state for ammunition sales. So what would eventually happen, you know, they get the technology. New Jersey is now their exclusive market to this, but then you're going to have other states that are like, oh, wow, well, you know, California is going to say the same thing. You know, look at California. They have an approved list of guns to ship in there, and you have to have the state's FFL. So just to let you know, I think we're the only dealer in St. Louis that ships guns to California. Hmm. From a customer feedback for us has been, oh, I went to this gun shop and they wouldn't ship to California. It's like, we ship to California. It's kind of a pain, but we've got the licensure to do it. And so you got California, who's going to follow suit. They're going to get rid of their approved gun list. And, say this is the only gun we're going to allow in here, this is the only type of technology we'll allow in here. California is a big state. There's a lot of people there. Look at Glock. The only approved Glock in California is the Generation 3 Glock, and we're on to Gen 4, Gen 5 now. But yet I got a buddy out there who's like, hey, can you get me a Glock? And I was like, yeah, but, you know, it can only be, you know, like Generation 3 and, you know, standard mag, or, you know, not even standard magazines, low capacity magazines, 10 rounds. He's like, yeah, I know, but they want like $1,200 for this Glock here in California, you know. And I'm like, dude, that's a $500 or $600 Glock in our store any day of the week. You know, so it's just so the pricing's already high in California, but then you add on this new technology that allows only authorized users to use that gun with a palm print, fingerprint, or RFID, you know, necklace, etc., or bracelet worn. Then, you know, wait and see what happens to gun prices, you know, in those states. Like I said, California would follow suit. I'd also imagine states like New York,
Illinois,
would follow suit. Illinois would probably jump on board, Washington, D.C., and you'd have just all these states, you know, probably within a year would be my prediction, say, yeah, you're the only gun allowed in here. So that's a pretty big prize.
Yeah. No
kidding. You know, when you look at it, huge prize, kind of at the end of the tunnel. I imagine Washington State, Oregon would fall, and probably Massachusetts and other kind of real strong Democrat stronghold states would fall to this technology, and you would lock up a pretty significant market if you could develop it. But it's been researched and developed, you know, R&D on the manufacturing level, both for firearms and ammunition, and it's just not possible with the current technology we have. Is it coming? Probably. If we can get laser guns.
It takes a long time to develop that stuff, though. You can't put in a law out of nowhere and just force, you know, things to go into place. It takes time to develop that type of...
Hey, we're going to do that with the new Green Deal, man. And, you know, other clean technology under the Biden, Harris administration. So it's going to be pretty interesting...
I'm sure it's something we can just 3D print.
Yeah.
That solves everything. I'm joking, obviously. Aaron, we got to let you go. Before we do, though, tell people how they can find you out at Southern Armory.
Yeah, so come see us at the store, 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44. Follow us on Facebook at Southern Armory. You can follow the podcast, Second Amendment News Podcast. Mm-hmm. And, of course, SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the great Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, Happy New Year, and we will talk to you next week, same time, my friend.
Same bat channel, same bat time.
You got it. All right. Take a quick break. Bye. You bet. Take a quick break. Back with more Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Carl Middleman, and Bo Matthews here in studio. Big thank you to Aaron Tarlow for joining us in that first segment. Always great stuff from Aaron. We are going to talk to Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller in just a moment, and we are going to talk to Jesse from Razorback Armory in the last segment of the show. So still plenty of Second Amendment Radio coming your way. Let's go ahead and get Virginia on the line now. Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller, always great to talk with you, my friend. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain, as we hopefully are finally able to move on from 2020 and all the madness that it brought along with it.
So I thought I came up with a good idea for a shirt, and I called a t-shirt distributor that I know. I survived 2020, and all I got was a stupid t-shirt. Well, before I called him, I looked online. Mm-hmm. It's out there.
It's already out.
Everything's been thought of.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question for Virginia. How are you again, Virginia?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. One of the founders of Daily Caller is Tucker Carlson. Is he still involved?
He actually sold his share earlier this year.
Oh.
So he is not part owner.
Right before he made his big deal with Fox.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, he's picking up more influence at Fox, and that's why. I don't think it has anything to do with, we're still have a good relationship with him. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But what's really interesting about that, when he sold his share, the Daily Caller became the largest minority-owned news site in D.C.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Because Neil Patel is Indian.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny because then, you know, people come after the Daily Caller and say, well, you're right wing. You guys are white supremacists. I'm like, hold on a second, guys.
Wow.
Not so much.
Yeah, those labels and accusations get thrown around an awful lot at a lot of people people have no idea what the background of those people or organizations are half the time, half the time, 90% of the time.
My favorite was when they were calling calling Nikki Haley a white supremacist. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, no research or anything goes into making those accusations. You know, Virginia, I wanted to talk to you. I think the military falls comfortably into Second Amendment radio and the great outdoors and the things that we talk about here on the show. And we talk a lot about law enforcement and obviously hunting and fishing and all that stuff, but we don't talk about the military very often on this show. And Virginia is a veteran. Thank you, Virginia, for your service, as always.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we've talked a lot, like we were just talking to Aaron in the last segment, about Joe Biden's plan for Second Amendment, you know, his gun plan
right.
to end firearm violence in the United States, or whatever he calls it. What about his plans for the military? How do you, as a veteran and as a journalist who probably knows more about this than I do, we've really studied his gun plan. But if his history as vice president is anything to go on, the military has got some big changes on the horizon. Barack Obama very famously basically dismantled the United States military, and Donald Trump is the one who built it back. Are you afraid that when Biden takes office, that the military will again not only not be a priority, but just will be an afterthought?
You know what? That's kind of what I would say. I think that you could really show the philosophies. I mean, everybody's hip to compare somebody to Hitler. I'm not going to do that. But what I would say is, and I wouldn't even do that with Joe Biden anyway, what I would say is that the difference between the military and foreign policy posture, because those two kind of go hand in hand, between Biden and Trump, it would be like starting with Winston Churchill and going to Neville Chamberlain. And I don't know if you know the history, but Neville Chamberlain was the one who thought that he could protect England by appeasing Hitler and basically not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And London was bombed and he learned the hard way that you can't do that. And so it makes me wary that we might learn a few lessons the hard way, because we have a strong enough military that we don't need to learn lessons the hard way. And somebody in who doesn't think about the military that way, it's not the Reagan-esque peace through strength kind of ideal, you don't, you're just tempting them to come and drop something in your backyard. And I say them, I mean anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who it is. If they don't like the United States for whatever reason, and there are people out there who just don't like the United States.
And Virginia, it could be Americans. It could be Americans that are that upset. And if you don't have the firepower to be able to defend, and although we had riots in our country this year, the military was never sent in. The National Guard was on standby, I guess you would say. But that's awful frightening.
The National Guard, I think, primarily was used as a show of force more than anything else. And sometimes that's all you need. Again, it's that peace through strength idea.
But you're right, Virginia. It doesn't matter who it is, if you have the appearance of being suddenly weak or weaker than you were, then that gives bad actors around the world an opportunity to take advantage
absolutely.
Of us.
Absolutely.
Right.
And bases that have been closed. My dad was stationed at Lowry Air Force Base in the Denver area, Aurora, Colorado, and now it's condos. And it's like, that was a major base. Scott Air Force. He lives on the East Coast now in Jersey. There's an Army base right next to him, Monmouth Army Base. It's condos. They've sold off the property. It's just crazy. All these huge pieces of property.
New Jersey, Fort Dix is where my grandfather trained, that's closed too.
Yeah, right next to McGuire. They share a fence line, I think they said. But anyway, Second Amendment.
We're like
at the VFW having a cold one.
Hey, they have great prices on beer at VFW halls.
Hey, Virginia, I did want to ask you a little bit about politics, because it kind of goes hand in hand with this discussion, because everything... You know, whatever Joe Biden tries to accomplish, whether it comes with the military, Second Amendment rights, or anything else, he's obviously going to need the support of his party. He's got a pen and a phone, so he can do a certain amount with the executive orders, but it'll be a lot easier if he has a united party behind him. And right now, neither party seems to be completely on the same page. But I would say that the Democrats have a bigger split than the Republicans do at the moment. And it was on display this week when Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was accusing Joe Biden of a bait and switch when it came to his immigration policies. And we've seen some of the more progressive people in the Democratic Party calling Biden out for various appointments or, plans or things that he has said lately. How do you, as we wrap up this year, how do you assess the Democratic Party as a whole and Joe Biden's ability to control it when he takes office?
Well, I will say this, and I've said this before. I think that the best thing that could happen to Joe Biden is Republicans win in Georgia, because
I agree.
Excuse to be moderate. He has a built-in excuse because he can't get it past the Senate. Now, I realize he's got a pen and a phone. I think Kamala Harris is far more likely to use that than Biden is, because he understands how weak executive orders are. Because the minute a new president comes in, everything's gone. Because that's what happened when Donald Trump took over and systematically dismantled the executive orders that Obama had put through.
You know, I will say, though, that I was shocked at how much Donald Trump was able to actually affect the country with some executive orders, with some of the deregulation executive orders and things like that.
Yeah.
He was really able to get the economy on.
Presidents do by doing.
Yeah, he was able to get the economy on track, and he was able to affect some actual change simply with executive order. But as you say, which is the truth, obviously.
Those
will be undone by Joe Biden and are very undoable because they don't have that staying power.
Exactly.
But a president can do, have some influence with those executive orders.
Well, right. And the reality is the president can do whatever Congress and the court doesn't stop him from doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he can go out and he can say he's going to do it, and he can do it. And Congress can stop him by not funding it or by passing legislation that contradicts it, and the court can stop him if somebody sues. But the reality is, if they leave him unchecked, and a Congress is far likely to do that for Joe Biden, or far more likely to do that for Joe Biden than they were for Donald Trump, if they leave him unchecked, he can do those things, whether or not we think he should or we believe it's constitutional. He can do it as long as Congress fails to check him.
You know,
and so that's the situation we're in.
After every inauguration, they always talk about that first 100 days in office, whether it's Trump or Biden. if we're talking about Biden as the new president January 20th, in that first 100 days, how much do you think he could change or attempt to change the laws concerning the Second Amendment, since that's what we, you know, a lot of times talk about on the show?
Well, based on what he's said he's going to do in the first 100 days, I think it's a fair assessment that he took early lids throughout the entire campaign and hid in his basement because he was building up strength for what's going to be a really, really busy 3 months. Because he keeps saying, I'm going to do this in my first 100 days. I'm going to do that in my first 100 days. And if Kamala Harris gets her way, there might be a lot with regard to guns in the first 100 days. Mm. Now, again, all of that's going to be fought, especially if we keep Georgia in, you know, Republican in the Senate. And you can only go so far, as I've said before, with executive orders and gun laws, because this is a constitutional issue at its heart. And so if he does something, there are going to be lawsuits. There is going to be pushback from the Senate and maybe even from the House, because there are Democrats in the House who are not anti-Second Amendment. You know, Democrats from places like Missouri, from places like Arkansas and Texas, a lot of these guys are not anti-gun. They just happen to be bluer than the rest of their state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you see that, you see moderates in Arizona too. Kyrsten Sinema has been very independent. Of course, now she's balanced out by Mark Kelly, but who is definitely an anti-gun guy.
Yes.
But it all remains to be seen. But again, executive orders are weak, and they're even weaker when you know you don't have the support of the country behind you. So I think if he does anything in the first 100 days with regards to guns, it'll probably be things that he can get majority support on, things like high-capacity magazines, bump stocks, things that, you know, scary words that people don't actually understand, that they're not really making the gun any more dangerous per se, but it's a good buzzword and it's something you can rally behind. And so I think that's probably what he's going to lean toward if he does anything on guns in the first 100 days. He's not going to put out, like, he might do something like an assault weapons ban or try that. I don't think it's going to work, but again, it's going to be the stuff he can get a large number rallying behind.
Yeah. Virginia, one last question. I've noticed, and maybe he's been doing it forever and I just didn't, I never picked up on it, but I've noticed the last year or so at least, Joe Biden ends every statement, every time he gives a speech, with God bless our troops. As a veteran who knows what happened when Joe Biden was vice president to the military and how it was not a priority to him, how does that, when he ends every statement, every speech with that, how does that hit you?
You know, it's one of those things where if he's taking the time to say it, I realize most politicians are saying it because it's politically expedient to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's a certain degree of that. I don't think Joe Biden hates veterans. I don't think he hates our troops. I think that he prioritizes other things.
Yes. Yeah, he just doesn't see a use for it.
I think that's exactly right. I think he truly does love the military.
By it.
Yeah,
but I'm not offended by it. And I think there are a lot of people who will hear that and think about the troops when otherwise they might not have.
Good sentiment.
So,
yeah, I like that.
So yeah, I don't have a problem with him saying that. That would be my take on that. Like,
yep.
It doesn't bother me. I'm not offended by it. I think that there's a certain degree of political expediency to it. But other than that, it's not an issue.
Virginia, if people want to follow your work on The Daily Caller, follow you on social media, all that good stuff, how do they do it?
At VA Cruda on Twitter, Parler the same. You can find The Daily Caller at Daily Caller or at dailycaller.com. on the web.
Great stuff, Virginia Cruda. Happy New Year, and we will talk to you soon.
Sure, you too.
All right. Take another quick break, and we'll be back with our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Merry Christmas weekend. Happy New Year. Thank you so much once again for listening to the show and everything you've done for us in this crazy 2020. The show continues to grow. The podcast numbers continue to grow, and we appreciate everyone for listening, whether you're listening on 97.1 FM Talk, KMOX, or you're just one of our podcasters. We appreciate every single one of you. Don't forget about our two podcasts that we put out every week. We put out this show podcast every Friday, so you get a chance to actually download the show and take it with you throughout the weekend, even before it airs. And then we release our podcast exclusive on Mondays. You can get the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors podcast anywhere you get podcasts. But I recommend the radio.com app because it's free. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download this podcast and all the other podcasts on the station right there on the radio.com app. Going to talk to our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory in just a moment, and that means this, of course, is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. It is a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. There's gun stores, and then there's Razorback Armory. Find them at RazorbackArmory.com, a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road, and it is the tennis building store that you want to look to. Look for the word tennis. Razorback's right next to it. When you start selling both, then I'll be impressed. How are you, Jesse?
What's up, Jesse?
How are you guys doing?
and not only I'm not only the spot there, and we're talking to Jesse from Razorback, but I'm guessing you're at Razorback Armory right now.
I'm at Razorback Armory right now.
He's been sleeping there all year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You know what? But before we get into any details or specifics, just looking back at 2020, I mean, obviously, from an industry standpoint, from a sales standpoint, it's probably a banner year for Razorback and many of the gun stores around the area and around the country. But then, you know, socially, in a pretty, and you know, with the pandemic and all the social unrest, see, it's just pouring in questions. Customers, they just heard us say it, and they're like, "Oh, he's there. I'm calling him."
That was me. I called.
Oh, dude, I'll take care of you after the show, buddy. Yeah.
So looking back at 2020, how do you analyze it? Was it a great year because of the boom in sales you had, or was, you know, disappointing? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the financial standpoint, it was a great year. Technically, when we look at our years, you know, when you start to factor trends and you look at your business over, you know, a five-year period or something, we've got to throw this year out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it skews so much that we won't be able to use this on long-term data. So we'll actually have to just take this year, throw it away, hopefully stack next year on it, and everything gets back to some semblance of normal.
Yeah, but don't set your budgets to this year and think, hey, we need a 10% growth from 2020.
Yeah, right?
Because
that's
I'm gonna need you to get those numbers.
Yeah, that's not fair. Yeah, that's not a fair expectation.
No. But I mean, but for all intents and looking at it from different angles, we got a lot of new gun owners, which is good. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of people that are into the sport. And I guarantee you, we've got a lot of new gun owners that probably will be selling guns in the future, that maybe, you know, they bought it, they kind of knee jerk reaction, they bought it, you know, maybe they're not into it, or, you know, something else comes up and they need to sell the firearm. But hey, at least they know the process. At least they know how to buy a firearm if they wanted one again. You know, they've been introduced to the gun culture, and they know it's not some scary mystical thing that, you know, that they don't understand. It's pretty easy. You go to your local gun shop, you know, you meet some people, have some conversations, you know, purchase a firearm. But from that aspect, it's great. From that aspect, also, we've sold out of everything. There's nothing to be had. You know, so there's a lot more stuff trickling in. I mean, we're still beating the bushes every day trying to keep stocked. And we got a really good amount of stuff in here lately for Christmas for everybody. Ammo is still at a shortage, and from what we understand, it's going to be like that for a while. You just kind of get it where you can, and you know, hopefully the prices will level out. The metal, you know, metals markets and everything, you know, raw materials will level out, so we can get back to some form of a reasonable price, if you will.
And I got to point out, Razorback Armory is a gun concierge. They're a small, like square footage. They're not gigantic, so they don't have a bunch of minions running around. So it's three guys doing everything. So my question is, how are you mentally and physically after a year like you've had?
I bought a hot dog stand in Florida, and I'm going to disappear.
Hey, Biden has anything to say about it, that's exactly what you're going to be doing.
First dog. Hey, when you guys come down, first dog's on me. Don't you worry.
All right.
But, yeah, it's I'm not going to lie, man, it's rough. It's really, you know, when you're doing a week's worth of normal business in a day, right, there's a week's worth of work to do. So sometimes I'll get here at 4 a.m, we'll stay at 8 and 10 o'clock at night, and we're still only open 10 to 6 because, you know, the paperwork's got to get done. Those forms that you fill out, the 4473s have to get filed. We've got to process all that. You know, we've got to get our orders in. We've got to maintain our inventory. You know, the back of the house, the real boring stuff has to go on so that all the cool stuff out front happens.
And you can't customize like you want to. I mean, I'm sure you're doing it, but there, you know, people want this and that on it. Like me, when I came in, I wanted the red dot scope and, of course, I pulled a I pulled a card and got it done. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and it's there's a lot of stuff that we would love to be still doing for people, but we can't get the parts, or, you know, it's just not a good time to get into some of those builds because they're just, you know, you'd be taking what you could get, not necessarily the parts that they want.
Right.
And, you know, you can, and we're still putting guns out there. We're still building stuff. We're still fixing repairs and doing that for people. But as far as the real one-off custom stuff, it's noticeably less this year, and really towards the backside of the year. We were still able to get some stuff done early, but it's a lot slimmer, and we're trying to stage people and you know, put some projects off until we can get a lot more core parts and pieces they want. So instead of getting it done in a month, you know, we may be looking at a 6-month window for them.
Got just a couple minutes left here with Jesse from Razorback Armory. Jesse's going to stick around and be a part of the podcast exclusive. So I have a lot more questions, and we'll be able to get to all those in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that podcast as well. How's the suppressor business, Jesse? Is it strong as the rest of the firearms industry?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Right now, so it's kind of strange. I'm selling, you know, throughout the whole craziness, we've sold suppressors. It's kind of stayed level, if you will. Well, since, you know, something happened in the kind of first part of November, everyone's freaking out and they all want to get their paperwork filed. So it has spiked. We're selling four and five a day, easy. I'm taking calls from people that are out of state that I've dealt with before, because with our digital system, we can actually sell you the suppressor if we've already worked with you before and we've got all your data stored.
That's convenient.
Yeah, and what's our whole thing? Just make it as easy as possible. Mm. But it's definitely booming. Now, I will say this, and I tell everybody the same thing. January 20 is just a day, okay? Nothing magically happens on the NFA or your suppressor, you know, that they're not going to change.
That's a great
but
point.
Everyone has it in their head that I got to have my paperwork filed before whoever takes over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, and this is my personal opinion, this is not fact by any means, they don't, on January 21st, turn a switch and NFA goes away or they regulate it somehow.
You know, you're so right about that, Jesse. And you know, we talk a lot on this show about all the things that Joe Biden has planned. And in fact, I have some questions about that for you in the podcast exclusive. But it's important to remember that when Joe Biden sits down in the Oval Office for the first time, the whole country isn't going to change immediately. We need to be diligent and we need to fight for the Second Amendment rights and everything else. But we don't want to panic people and say that, you know, everything changes immediately. We got to wrap this up, but we'll continue the discussion on the podcast exclusive. Jesse, remind people how they can find you out at Razorback.
Certainly. So we are at 12072 Manchester Road in De Pere, Missouri, half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. And you got to make sure you tell us Bo sent you. social media platform, Facebook, Instagram. Also, RazorbackArmory.com. Come on by. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we'll continue talking with Jesse in the podcast exclusive. Please make sure you're downloading both of our podcasts each and every week. And that is going to do it for the show this week. For Carl Mittleman and Bo Matthews, I am Tony Colombo. Merry Christmas weekend and Happy New Year from your friends at Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Merry Christmas weekend. Happy New Year. Thank you so much once again for listening to the show and everything you've done for us in this crazy 2020. The show continues to grow. The podcast numbers continue to grow, and we appreciate everyone for listening, whether you're listening on 97.1 FM Talk, KMOX, or you're just one of our podcasters. We appreciate every single one of you. Don't forget about our two podcasts that we put out every week. We put out this show podcast every Friday, so you get a chance to actually download the show and take it with you throughout the weekend, even before it airs. And then we release our podcast exclusive on Mondays. You can get the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors podcast anywhere you get podcasts. But I recommend the radio.com app because it's free. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download this podcast and all the other podcasts on the station right there on the radio.com app. Going to talk to our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory in just a moment. And that means this, of course, is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. It is a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. There's gun stores, and then there's Razorback Armory. Find them at RazorbackArmory.com, a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. And it is the tennis building store that you want to look to. Look for the word tennis. Razorback's right next to it. When you start selling both, then I'll be impressed. How are you, Jesse?
Yeah, what's up,
good.
Jesse?
How are you guys doing?
and not only I'm not only the spot there, and we're talking to Jesse from Razorback, but I'm guessing you're at Razorback Armory right now.
I'm at Razorback Armory right now.
He's been sleeping there all year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, but before we get into any details or specifics, just looking back at 2020, I mean, obviously, from an industry standpoint, from a sales standpoint, it's probably a banner year for Razorback and many of the gun stores around the area and around the country. But then, you know, socially, been a pretty, and you know, with the pandemic and all the social unrest, it's just pouring in questions. Customers, they just heard us say it and they're like, oh, he's there, I'm calling him.
That was me. I called.
Oh, dude, I'll take care of you after the show, buddy. Yeah.
So looking back at 2020, how do you analyze it? Was it a great year because of the boom in sales you had, or was, you know, disappointing? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the financial standpoint, it was a great year. Technically, when we look at our years, you know, when you start to factor trends and you look at your business over, you know, a 5-year period or something, we've got to throw this year out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it skews so much that we won't be able to use this on long-term data. So we'll actually have to just take this year, throw it away, hopefully stack next year on it, and everything gets back to some semblance of normal.
Yeah, don't set your budgets to this year and think, hey, we need a 10% growth from 2020.
Yeah, right? Because
I'm gonna need you to get those numbers.
Yeah, down. That's not fair. Yeah, that's not a fair expectation.
No. But I mean, but for all intents and looking at from different angles, we got a lot of new gun owners, which is good. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of people that are into the sport. And we, you know what? I guarantee you, we've got a lot of new gun owners that probably will be selling guns in the future. That maybe, you know, they bought it. They kind of knee-jerk reaction. They bought it. You know, maybe they're not into it, or, you know, something else comes up and they need to sell the firearm. But, hey, at least they know the process. At least they know how to buy a firearm if they wanted one again. You know, they've been introduced to the gun culture, and they know it's not some scary mystical thing that, you know, that they don't understand. It's pretty easy. You go to your local gun shop, you know, you meet some people, have some conversations, you know, purchase a firearm. But that, from that aspect, it's great. From that aspect also, we've sold out of everything. There's nothing to be had. You know, so there's a lot more stuff trickling in. I mean, we're still beating the bushes every day trying to keep stocked. And we got a really, you know, a really good amount of stuff in here lately for Christmas for everybody. Ammo is still at a shortage, and from what we understand, it's going to be like that for a while. You just kind of get it where you can, and you know, hopefully the prices will level out. The metal, you know, metals markets and everything, you know, raw materials will level out, so we can get back to some form of a reasonable price, if you will.
And I got to point out, Razorback Armory is a gun concierge. They're a small, like square footage. They're not gigantic, so they don't have a bunch of minions running around. So it's three guys doing everything. So my question is, how are you mentally and physically after a year like you've had?
I bought a hot dog stand in Florida, and I'm going to disappear.
Hey, if Biden has anything to say about it, that's exactly what you're going to be doing.
Hey, first dog. Hey, when you guys come down, first dog's on me. Don't you worry.
All right.
But yeah, it's I'm not gonna lie, man. It's rough. It's really, you know, when you're doing a week's worth of normal business in a day, right, there's a week's worth of work to do. So sometimes I'll get here at 4 a.m. We'll stay at 8, 10 o'clock at night, and we're still only open 10 to 6 because, you know, the paperwork's got to get done. Those forms that you fill out, the 4473s have to get filed. We've got to process all that. You know, we've got to get our orders in. We've got to maintain our inventory. You know, the back of the house, the real boring stuff, has to go on so that all the cool stuff out front happens.
And you can't customize like you want to. I mean, I'm sure you're doing it, but there, you know, people want this and that on it. Like me, when I came in, I wanted the red dot scope and. Of course, I pulled a card and got it done. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and it's there's a lot of stuff that we would love to be still doing for people, but we can't get the parts, or you know, it's just not a good time to get into some of those builds because they're just, you know, you'd be taking what you could get, not necessarily the parts that they want.
Right.
And you know, you can, and we're still putting guns out there. We're still building stuff. We're still fixing repairs and doing that for people. But as far as the real one-off custom stuff, it's noticeably less this year, and really towards the backside of the year. We were still able to get some stuff done early, but it's a lot slimmer, and we're trying to stage people and you know, put some projects off until we can get a lot more core parts and pieces they want. So instead of getting it done in a month, you know, we may be looking at a 6-month window for them.
Got just a couple minutes left here with Jesse from Razorback Armory. Jesse's going to stick around and be a part of the podcast exclusive. So I have a lot more questions, and we'll be able to get to all those in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that podcast as well. How's the suppressor business, Jesse? Is it strong as the rest of the firearms industry?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Right now, so it's kind of strange. I'm selling, you know, throughout the whole craziness, we've sold suppressors. It's kind of stayed level, if you will. Well, since, you know, something happened the kind of first part of November, everyone's freaking out and they all want to get their paperwork filed. So it has spiked. We're selling four and five a day, easy. I'm taking calls from people that are out of state that I've dealt with before, because with our digital system, we can actually sell you the suppressor if we've already worked with you before and we've got all your data stored.
That's convenient.
Yeah, and that's our whole thing, just make it as easy as possible. Mm. But it's definitely booming. Now, I will say this, and I tell everybody the same thing. January 20 is just a day, okay? Nothing magically happens on the NFA or your suppressor, you know, that they're not going to change.
That's a great
but
point.
Everyone has it in their head that I got to have my paperwork filed before whoever takes over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, I mean, this is my personal opinion, this is not fact by any means, they don't, on January 21st, turn a switch and NFA goes away or they regulate it somehow.
You know, you're so right about that, yeah. Jesse. And you know, we talk a lot on this show about all the things that Joe Biden has planned. And in fact, I have some questions about that for you in the podcast exclusive. But it's important to remember that when Joe Biden sits down in the Oval Office for the first time, the whole country isn't going to change immediately. We need to be diligent and we need to fight for the Second Amendment rights and everything else. But we don't want to panic people and say that, you know, everything changes immediately. We got to wrap this up, but we'll continue the discussion on the podcast exclusive. Jesse, remind people how they can find you out at Razorback.
Certainly. So we are 12072 Manchester Road in DePere, Missouri, half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. You got to make sure you tell us Bo sent you. social media platform, Facebook, Instagram. Also, RazorbackArmory.com. Come on by. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we'll continue talking with Jesse in the podcast exclusive. Please make sure you're downloading both of our podcasts each and every week. And that is going to do it for the show this week. For Carl Middleman and Bo Matthews, I am Tony Colombo. Merry Christmas weekend and Happy New Year from your friends at Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.